Blog
Hey, what's
Talk
happening,
Radio.
Everybody? What's happening, everybody? Once again, it's that time on the Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour. You've reached the Kay Thompson Live Show. I'm the one that's called The Sun, or Citizen Payne, some of you. And you are the one and only.
I am Kay Thompson, and welcome, everyone, to Kay Thompson Live. We do have a lot of information for you about a brand new school in Newark, New Jersey. And we're going to be talking about that. It's the Donald M. Payne Senior School of Technology in Essex County Schools of Technology, and it is absolutely wonderful. It is now finished and operational, and wow, the opening was absolutely wonderful, wasn't it, Eric?
Yep, it was good. We just had ribbon cutting the other day, Monday the 4th. A number of elected officials, of course, Don Payne Jr., the current congressman, Senator Bob Menendez, Governor Chris Christie, Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver, and a host of other, Mayor Raz Baraka, City Councilman McCullen from the West Ward, where the school is located. And it was really a great thing. It was and of course, the person who made it all happen, with the help, of course, of my father, former Assemblyman William D. Payne, once it was decided that this school would be named after Don Payne Sr., was County Executive Joe DiVincenzo. Joe D. is what they call him. And, my father told me that it was – that space used to be a United Hospital, I believe. Was it? Mom, what was the name of that hospital?
I think so. I'm not sure. I've forgotten.
Okay. It used to be a hospital. That was there for a long time, then went out of business, was blighted, run down, and it was an eyesore in the neighborhood. And they decided that they wanted to get the land and turn it into something else. And at one time it was going to be another hospital or something like that, but then they decided they needed a school, a vocational school. And the story goes, my father's telling me that Joe D. just decided that in terms of naming the school, that it would be named after my uncle, the first African-American congressman, as he did with the statue, if you've ever been to the court buildings and Essex County government buildings. And it was quite impressive to me that Joe D. Decided to name that after my uncle. Then the story is, he went down to Trenton with his assistant or chief of staff, and they went to talk to Governor Christie, and this is out of Chris Christie's mouth, that it took him all of 2 minutes to decide to go ahead and help them get funding for the state-of-the-art vocational school. And it really is, and it's very impressive, and it's an incredible thing. Everybody involved did a fantastic job in making sure it came off right. Of course, once my father found out that his brother's name was going to be on it, he was knee-deep in it, as he would be, and worked very closely with Joe, who consulted him. So it turned out really well. Old college friend, very good close friend of my sister's, Terry Haskin, helped with a lot of the designing of it. It came out really fantastic. So it was a great day. You want to say something, Mom?
Yeah, Joe DiVincenzo has a history, you know, with my family. Because of the fact that my sister Pat Joyner was the head of the department, one of the departments of education with the Newark Schools District. We were both teaching in Newark a long time ago, and we had our dance studio there. And so we went through the Newark school system as teachers. And to see that this building, this educational, beautiful building, the Donald M. Payne Senior School of Technology is in Newark. And it's absolutely wonderful, everyone. anything you want in the area of technology, which we're going to be talking about tonight, is absolutely fantastic. I never thought that I would see a school like that in the city of Newark. But congratulations to the educators. Congratulations to the community. We're on the way. Newark is becoming the seat of higher education in the state of New Jersey, and we should all be proud of that. I taught in Newark for over 10 years, and so I'm a part of that. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of things that, you know, I'm involved with, and I'm going to make it known to people pretty soon. What about that, Eric?
All right, great. let's go and welcome one of our co-hosts, Mr. Byron, Brother Byron Saunders. Byron, how you doing this evening, Byron?
Well, it's another blessed day in paradise, and congratulations to the opening and the dedication, of course, of family and name of the Senior School of Technology, the Donald C. Payne. That's amazing. Congratulations. That's part of the history that we need to keep reinforcing, that hashtag Black Lives Matter yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And as you studying the history there in Newark, I've been blazing a history trail here in Manhattan. This past Sunday, had a wonderful sneak preview of a new Broadway show on the life of Bojangles called Bojangles. And it was delightful, and over at the Image Raw Space, after a weekend, the same people. Now, mind you, while you all are doing that in Newark, Raw Space Image Nation presented Black Panther, the movie, at Marcus Garvey Park on Friday evening, and over in Queens to standing room only audiences. 2,000 people at Marcus Garvey Park got a chance to see Black Panther for free. Free. And then next week I've got the new show that I'm production stage manager on. I sent you that material, Eric, on I've got The Last Laugh, the inspired by the life and times of Jackie Moms Mabley, opening from the 14th through the 17th. So, I mean, we're doing history. This is what it's all about. I'm loving it. So, congratulations.
That's right.
Again.
Let's go. Thank you very much. Let's go to Wayne Gilman and our other co-host, and welcome into the show. Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, folks. How's everyone?
Fine. How are you doing?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just having some computer problems there, if you hear some extraneous noise. Everything's okay. Just been an exciting week. Not as exciting as Byron's, of course. But, you know, hopefully the news cycle each day is just getting stronger and stronger towards one unfavorable direction with respect to the current occupant of the White House. And I just hope the rest of the nation is in lockstep with what's going on. You know, we need to make America great, but not the way he's doing it.
Well, we're on the way to making America greater, but with the Donald Payne, the School of Technology, in Newark, New Jersey, and we were just talking about that, so we want to stay on that for a minute and let people know all about it. There's so many things going on with it, and congratulations to Joey DiVincenzo, okay, because, you know, he, you know, really got this thing going, I think. And but also, Joey D, I would have to say my sister, Lisa, my daughter, you know, my sister Pat Joyner, you know, worked in Newark, and she was the head of the Department of Recreation and Education, Drug Education, and Joey DiVincenzo worked under her. So, and she had played a point, because she appointed Joey D to the office that he is now in. She deserves some credit for that.
Let's get a little, probably another office. He was elected to the county executive. So he did work with my aunt. Just a point of clarification. He did work with Aunt Pat at the Board of Ed. He was elected to the county executive office. You want to talk about some of the courses that they offer?
Yes,
there, right?
Of course, yeah.
And it was really a state-of-the-art state-of-the-art situation. What are some of the courses as a vocational school that they'll be offering?
So many different things. You know, let me go down a list here. Jesus, Christmas Day. Engineering and robotics. Construction trade. Business administration and management. Global logistics. And then culinary arts. Cosmetology. Law and public safety. Web design and game design. Fashion design. Audio production. Television and films. I think we're going to be involved with that, guys. Commercial and advertising art, and the building is absolutely wonderful. It is located on, where is that street, 13? West Market Street. Yeah, 498-54 West Market Street in Newark, New Jersey. People, if you are listening in, you need to see this building. It is absolutely magnificent. And, of course, it is so needed, and probably will be becoming. As a matter of fact, there's a possibility that will be one of the most important schools in the state of New Jersey, in Newark. That's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah. Also, we want to say about this school, you know, like my mom said, it's really state of the art. You got to walk through. It's also got some teams. I think let me flip through this right here, Mom, real quick. I think they're going to have, you know, it was really for us kind of mind blowing to walk in and see this school. Anybody that's on my Facebook page can see the little Facebook live feed that I was doing from the actual ceremony the other day. Then I went back the next day with my dad and walked through the school again because, you know, unless you've got a lot of energy, it's kind of hard to walk through there all in one day. So, I mean, you know, you can do it, and I don't want to say it's like huge like that, but it's, you know, we're talking about 320,000 square feet. Got its own farming thing on the roof where kids can learn horticulture and things like that. The sports teams, we're going to have volleyball, baseball, basketball, track, soccer, and bowling. Also cheerleading and I don't know what this is, maybe cheer competition. But to walk in and see kids wearing a jersey that says the Essex County Payne Tech Lions and to see a mascot, a kid dressed up as a lion mascot, and to go in the gym and see my uncle's name on the gym. But also, it honored the people who helped to make it happen as well. Father Ed Leahy, who is the father, Monsignor, that runs St. Benedict's Technical High School in New Jersey, was honored with a room named after him, as well as Governor Christie, the Law and Public Safety Building. And they surprised also my dad with the Library Innovation Center, named after him as well. And Father Ed Leahy said, you know, this is an example of bipartisanship. You know, you have Republicans and a Democratic governor coming through to make this happen. And you know, my uncle, being the type of representative that he was not really a combative guy. He was a guy that was soft-spoken, and he would really try to approach his differences by talking to people and really was not his approach to be combative. And so a lot of people, you know, he was a school teacher, as was my mother. You guys used to teach school together back in the day, Ma. I remember you telling me you guys would ride to school together. And so then he went on to be a teacher, work at the YMCA. So there were a lot of people in the community long before he got into politics. The public service aspect of what he was doing was really the reason why so many people felt a certain way about my uncle and were there to support him. So it was really a great day. And what's even better is that because of the development of the school, it improved the community around there. There's also a sheriff's station that was recently built across the street from the school. So the residents in the neighborhood are going to be feeling a little safer nowadays. And it raised people's property value because of the school. So it was really something to see and really something to be quite proud of. So I did somebody is carrying something. One of you guys, I don't know. I'm getting a little feedback here. So that's what we wanted to say about that.
Eric, I just had a quick question. I was just wondering, I'm assuming this is an accredited school, but is this for a high school education, or is it a college or an associate degree 2-year program that one gets out of this, or how does that work?
It's high school, but they will be getting able to get college credits.
Gotcha.
And have a
very good
uh, CTE, I guess, I forget what CTE stands for. I don't know if you guys do, but these certificates, it's somewhere in the book here as we're trying to flip through it. But I'm telling you guys, it is a remarkable state-of-the-art school, and it's really great that for these kids to be able to have an opportunity to go to a school like that. It will be three other vocational schools that are going to blend into this one. There are a whole bunch of kids there, and they were really excited. And I got to tell you, they did a little performance, a Hamilton-style performance, which really kind of wowed us when the kids came out with a couple of T-shirts with the logo on, and they started talking about my uncle like they do in Hamilton, about Alexander Hamilton. So it was really extremely, extremely impressive. So it made us all very proud of them. I want to say, Mom.
Yeah. And also, I want to, you know, really go into some of the courses that are being offered there. Now, you have over 16 career and technical educational programs, special ed, English as the second language, all kinds of honors programs, summer enrichment, and many before and after school programs, Saturday programs, academic clubs, advanced placement courses, Spanish language and culture, English language composition, English literature and composition, calculus, computer science, studio art, world history course, environmental science and U.S. history. Post-secondary, 75% of their students enroll in colleges. They have dance training also, dance classes, meaning not necessarily formal dancing, but that is the case also. At architectural drafting, now these are the concentrations, business administration and management, carpentry, plumbing, masonry, electrical technology, commercial and graphic arts, cosmetology and barbering, culinary arts, restaurant management, food service, digital filmmaking and television production, ding dong, that's going to be included, radio is included, engineering / robotics academy, fashion design, global logistics, supply chain management, interactive game design, web design, law and public safety academy, police, emergency, management and fire safety, and diplomacy, digital music technology, performing arts, and a very excellent program in performing arts.
Yeah, so, you know, all in all, it was a good day, and you know, like I said, made everybody really proud. But that, to answer your question, Wayne, they have a number of AP courses, and courses that will get people ready for college, and they can apply to college
Very
credits.
Good. Wow.
So it really is, you know, that's something that my uncle being an educator and always being into young people and trying to help young people, this is something that's more along his lines, and you would expect if someone was going to honor him that they would be honored in this way. So it's really a great thing to do. And as we segue into politics, I'm sure that he would be out there speaking every day if he was still alive serving in Congress, and that he would be making his differences with Donald Trump known plainly, clearly, and loudly. And certainly when we think of so many topics, you know, as I was writing and describing the show tonight, put down, you know, a couple of things we want to touch upon. Donald Trump is above the law. He's given out pardons, including two to black people. Unfortunately, one was dead for about 100 years, but okay. Taking back invitations to the White House. And, of course, we got to touch upon Rudy, who's trying to throw everything on the wall and see what sticks there. So let's have at it, gentlemen. Let's first talk about his assumption that he can pardon himself. What do you guys think about that?
Are you surprised? That's what I want to know. No, are you surprised? You know?
Got a JoJo in the White House.
Yeah, that's even a bigger question,
you know,
man. That's really the question.
That's not even really good enough. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, that he gets away with half the stuff that he's trying to get away with, but the news is getting tighter. I mean, with the exception of watching Fox News, you know, I mean, it just really, I find it abhorrent that, you know, a lot of American people are still out of the loop as to what's at stake here. You know, the United Nations just came out with a report this past week that the poor people in this country are getting poorer as a result of this man taking office in the last 17 months. You know, it's just astounding the treatment of these immigrant children, the separation from families, his promoting of the wall, the whole issue of kicking a political football with the NFL. I'm sorry, Eric.
No, I was going to say, I just wanted to stop you there and touch, because you're touching upon some great subjects. I wanted to go into a little bit. Certainly what I was going to mention, that separating the children from their families is something that's extremely despicable to me. Listen, to be hardcore, to be whatever, you see the strategy in that if someone was going to go be that extreme. And I could imagine, I'm going to ask you guys, can you imagine the pitch meeting, like, what are we going to do to keep them from coming? Let's do this. Let's build a wall. Let's do this. And there's that guy in the corner. I got an idea. Let's take their kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they come over here, take your kids. Mm-hmm. Really?
Historically, it's an idea that's born of the racist slave mentality that was begun here in the United States in 1619, and ultimately separating the slaves from their children, their families, nothing new. And the concentration camps that they're putting them in, that's exactly what they are, concentration camps. We did that to the Japanese in World War II, and now we're doing it to immigrants who are coming in from Mexico in 2018. Same racist, white supremacist concept of rule. And with respect to the wall, let's face it, here's the idea. Why are we building a wall only in Mexico when we should be building a wall in Canada if we really want to keep America safe? Now we've opened up the floodgates to Canada. It makes no conscious sense whatsoever other than to identify for what it truly is, racist white supremacy.
Oh,
of course. And we know one thing, we're going to be going backwards. You know, as a matter of fact, this country looks like it's going backwards with this nitwit in the White House. I'm telling you. Now,
also,
you know,
also constitutionally,
kids,
he cannot.
Excuse me, Byron.
Yeah,
those
go ahead.
Kids
go ahead.
Who take a stand in Parkland and all the other high schools that are, I'm quite sure we haven't heard the end of the high schools getting involved with this. And I want to also compliment our football players. Our sports people, I hope they continue to take stands.
Right.
I hope they continue to kneel, you know, and they're to be congratulated. How dare somebody come in? He has slave master all over him. Mm-hmm. He's lost in a time warp.
Right.
He is a dangerous person, okay? He is dangerous not only to, you know, the United States. He's dangerous, period. You know, and can you spell Hitler?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Ma. And you touched upon, like everybody else touched upon, so many subjects. I mean, you guys, Byron, that's what I always think about, that slave mentality, but also that nobody else in the room. This is the problem. And just a few of them now are starting to realize that this, you know, there's a few Republicans, like there was one that was Chris Matthews was talking about, mentioned the spy thing and said, you know, just lying and making it up is not helping anybody. Just saying there's a spy and because you want to, and just saying anything is not helping the situation. So that whole kind of concept, the problem is that one of them mentions diabolical things, right? And everybody in the room, nobody in the room has an objection. That's the thing that trips me out. Nobody in here thinks there's a problem with kind of that concept. I mean, you could, you know, I'm surprised nobody said, yeah, you could take your kids, but are we really going to be, you know, I understand that's a hardcore way to once the word gets out, they'll separate your children from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can only imagine. I'm trying to think, you know, I'm an actor. Byron, you're an actor. You know how we do. We try to break down the characters that we might have to play, right? So the actor theory is when you have a bad character, you can't just play a bad character. You got to get into the psyche of the person and see why they're bad. So that causes you to see things from other point of view. So the strategy there is to hopefully the word gets out to immigrants trying to cross the border that they're going to take your kids. They're going to take your kids and they're going to take your kids away from you. And so they hope that goes down the line and people start talking about it and say, don't go there. Okay, you can do that. But do you really want to be that person? Do you really want to be that guy to separate kids? They had a Senator Merkley today. It was on the news. They tried to do a walk-in visit, unannounced visit. They called the cops on him, wouldn't let him go in this building, which is an old Walmart that's been converted into this detention center for the children. And apparently he said, you know, he claimed that they were keeping children in what's in this type of fencing that almost looked like cages, you know. And it's just if there's a sickness there with these people, you know. I don't know how you guys feel.
It's a pathology. Racism is and white supremacy is a pathology and must be considered as such. Otherwise, we are really just looking at something that we keep continuing to kick the ball back and forth down the field. Whose problem is this? But the truth of the matter is, historically, we have enough evidence to declare it as such. And it's a mental health problem, probably, and one in which we have not addressed as mental health, but certainly all of the signs of a virus as bad as Ebola and syphilis and smallpox, it's all there.
Mm-hmm. You're not suggesting that our dear president has a problem, are you?
Big problem.
It certainly rises speculation.
He is one sick baby. Okay.
Puppy. He's
he is
one
a
sick
pain
puppy.
In
yes,
the.
He is.
I won't.
The tookus.
Okay.
He's a pain in the tookus.
You know what I'm. You know what I was going to say, but I can't help but get very angry every
can't
time.
Can't say that, right?
Think of, he is absolutely impossible. How do you deal with an idiot? An idiot who, well, you know what I'm saying? That says a lot about certain American people, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
so we still have this wave of, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's got to go. It really has to go. And you know what I'm saying? All right. What is the alternative? We voting. Doing what we have to do, getting involved in more organizations, speaking out, speaking up, making sure your voice is heard, you know, call
right.
various
yeah.
radio stations, you know, because we're being bombarded with this person in the White House, okay? So let's bombarding our media, you know, with what we feel about, okay?
Really quickly, and I'm going to let you guys jump in here. That's an excellent point, Ma, that their side seems to be, for some reason, hatred seems to attract more enthusiasm than peace and love, right? I mean, because they do exactly what you're talking about, Ma. They flood the representatives' mailboxes. They flood them with calls. The Republican side I'm talking about, they'll flood the Democrat side with calls. My cousin gets things in the mail routinely from people that live all across the country that aren't even in his district. Certainly from the anti-abortion lobby. You know, these people get these talking points. They get little postcards. Just sign your name at the bottom of the postcard. It's a pre-typed thing, and they send it out. So that's a great point, Mom. We need to get as active. And my cousin even said this to some people in the town hall in Maplewood last year, the year before last, that he told the people to call their representatives. You guys need to make the calls. And they didn't understand that. Because their side is just than we are at times. And I'm talking about the rank and file, the people that go to these rallies, that, you know, they're making them angry faces when they're standing behind them yelling, yeah, you know. So we need to be as active as they. That's a great point, Ma. You wanted to say, Wayne?
No, I happen to agree. I mean, the thing is that there's not enough activism in terms of what it is that you know, I feel that we should be doing to get the message across. I think a lot of people are looking at the big picture and thinking, well, you know, in November, things will change. But unless you are an individual participant in effecting the change, things are going to stay the same. And the Republican Party is counting on that. They're trying now to sell a narrative that, you know, the economy is getting better. You know, here it is. Barack Obama handed this man a surplus, and he's been able to capitalize on it. But again, the United Nations came out with empirical evidence showing that poor people, since he's taken office, have gotten poorer. So, you know, is America getting great again? I question that. This man has no concept about global warming. You know, he wants to get the coal miners back out there stoking coal and basically forget about doing anything. I'm not an advocate of gas natural gas fracturing because they think it's affecting the environment. But the deal is that there's enough evidence out there showing that they're going solar. Anything against the fossil fuels these days will improve our environment. Healthcare is run amok. All, you know, immigration is run amok. I mean, I'm a son of immigrants. I mean, it bothers me to think what could have happened, you know, 40, 60 years ago. And it went on. I mean, this playbook, as Byron pointed out, is something from slavery, you know. And
exactly.
And when Kay, you mentioned Hitler, you can't help but feel this man is also, invoking some of the things that he felt that was his level of nationalism is comparable to what Adolf Hitler was doing.
Of course it is. And I'll tell you another thing. We have to get ourselves together, really, and start being more involved in political stuff, okay, in politics. We have to. Remember the March on Washington? You know, I went down there, that first March on Washington. I was there, okay? And Martin Luther King was there, of course, and so many other people. And I remember somebody telling me that Josephine Baker was there. And Byron, you can probably check this. I remember somebody on the air when I was on early. Okay.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I knew it was.
I was there.
Well, I was in elementary school.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
Fake news.
But I read about it, Kay. I read about you all.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
I heard you drove out this weekend.
Right. Yeah. Well, that happened in the wrong way.
But anyway, the days of the marches, hey, listen, the days of the marches isn't over.
Right.
We may have to do it again and again and again. Okay? So that people get the idea that we're not going to take it. Let me tell you something about Donald Payne, though. You know, you used to teach with Donald, okay? Knew him quite well, my brother-in-law, okay? And he was so, not only was he strong, but he was quietly strong. Donald had a very soft voice, you know, and he sort of reminded me of MLK in a way, because he was really, really very exact in what he felt. And Donald was very, very desperate, and he was powerful. He was really powerful in the state of New Jersey. And I remember about him, and I always felt that he was really a gentle So he very seldom raised his voice. I never heard Donald raise his voice. Did you hear?
Yeah.
You heard Uncle Donald?
When he was yelling at Chopin Wilder. But that's a different story.
His,
you know, that.
That's over his kid.
But I mean, but he was.
But he wasn't even yelling then.
Right. He was a, you know.
He never raised his
but,
voice.
But I wanted to, that's a very good point, Mom. I haven't heard that before, that about Uncle Donald. I wanted to ask you guys, moving slightly to an area, you broached the subject a little bit about the kneeling, and we know that. What do you guys think, Byron? Why don't you answer this? Lead us with the answer, your opinion about this question of the strategy of misinviting the Philadelphia Eagles, even though because nobody was coming to his party anyway. I heard it's only about 10 people were going to show up, so I figured you'd jump out. You know, he figured you'd jump out in front and say, "Well, you're not invited anyway." You know, but I think
of the latest
strategy,
Of the latest information on this, only one player had committed to going, and that was the quarterback, Foles. That's it. That's as of about 45 minutes ago that I heard this on the news. And so the disinvited process of it all is reflected in the commitment this president has made to standing his ground with respect to race and racism. Because at the point that we all know 70% of the teams are hires of African American or people of color. So it's not a matter of the politics of the Eagles. You know, I think the mayor of Philadelphia said it accurately. He said that the owners of the NFL happen to be white men of privilege. And when you put it into the context of that, that's right, white men of privilege. That's what the mayor of Philadelphia said. And when you put that in context with slavery, the plantation, sharecropping, and having paid slaves, which is what you can then begin to consider the NFL as paid slaves who are performing for mostly white people. So at this point, Trump, who was rebuked by the NFL, remember his New Jersey Generals were excluded out of the transition that brought in AFC and the you got to go back to that. They rebuked him for buying one of the football teams, NFL teams. So his animus is really against the owners as much as it is he can play the race card. And I'm hearing more on the talking heads now. You all right? You want to play the race card? Let's go back to Central Park 5. Because at that point, you are showing your racist and individual self to be just that, a part of the white supremacy and racism of America.
Okay. Now, Central Park 5. I was on the air and a sign, if you remember, Wayne, Wayne didn't go with me.
Okay.
I'm joking about.
Nope.
But anyway, by the Sutton, to cover that story of the Central Park, you know, 5. And if I remember correctly, there were 5 or 6 boys, just a minute, 5 or 6 boys who were arrested for running through Central Park. And who put an ad in the New York Times, full page? Donald Trump.
Right.
He was the cause of those men being arrested for something. Those boys, they were boys, little boys, running through Central Park in the evening, you know, having a good time. He was the one who put that ad in the on the front page of the New York Times and got those kids in jail. And then the Central Park Five, I hope we can get them on at some particular point, because every time I think of the things of the stories that we covered, Wayne, on WLIBBLS, you know, we were involved in, you know, really some hot stuff, including when Mandela came to town.
Yeah, right.
So you have to think in terms of what would Mandela do?
Right. That's a great point, Ma.
True.
Go ahead, Wayne.
You know, I just have to concur. I mean, the thing that really bothers me more than anything else is that after there was empirical DNA evidence showing that these 5 gentlemen were not responsible for the attack on this woman, and someone came forward and admitted that, then he had the nerve to take out a full-page ad in the tabloids criticizing the city's $40 million settlement, you know. And it's gut-wrenching. As I said a week ago, I attended a symposium that Al Sharpton had at Columbia University some months ago, and one of the 5 were there. And, you know, his life, you could hear the pain in his voice that 10 to 15 years was robbed from him, and this man gets elected president, you know, and he still has a problem. I mean, the fact that it's, you know, you can't get any better than DNA in terms of proving something, and there was an admission that they weren't involved, and he still has a problem. How do you get back 15 years of your life? You know?
Well,
that's what.
I mean, you're right. I mean, you're right, Wayne. I just wanted to really touch on that's the technique. I mean, you know, the strategy, and they've admitted that he has said that, the strategy with always bringing up the situation and lying about the national anthem issue is to bring that up as much as possible. And the closer he gets to the midterms, he said this. He's going to make this an issue. So now he's going to make I saw somebody talking about it. He's going to make one of the most sacred days in the fall. He's going to use that to divide everybody.
Oh, really?
That's going to be his strategy, admitted strategy by him, to always bring that up. And to a point of clarification is that the Philadelphia Eagles, none of them, all season long, took a knee.
Right.
That's the crazy thing, right? None of them took a knee all season long. You know, and the brother Malcolm Jenkins is the team spokesman, is a very articulate brother, and they're talking about it's not about disrespecting them. A lot of these guys have family members that are in the military, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of these guys that come from some of these poor households, you know, a lot of times the military was the way out, right? If you remember, I mean, in certain parts of the country, right? For people who can't find those high-paying jobs and kids ain't going to college, the military is a way out. It's a way to make a decent living, get a career, or learn a trade. I mean, you got to put your life on the line, depending who's president, right? But that was a way out for a lot of communities. So, and certainly
exactly.
a lot of poorer communities where a lot of these drugs come from. So,
I happen to agree. I mean, and the thing that really gets to me is that April Ryan, day before yesterday when they had a White House briefing, you know, she took Sarah Huckabee Sanders to task about what about the families of these NFL players who are serving in the military and other forms of law enforcement that is showing their patriotism to this country. What does he say to address that issue? And, you know, and she comes back with the standard line. And the thing is, what bothers me, and I'm glad that she cited it the other night, that, you know, back in the day before Trump, going back to when the late, great Helen Thomas was head of the White House press corps, she would challenge, she would stop a press conference asking questions repeatedly until she got the answer that she wanted. These people who are sitting in that room there, I mean, thank God they're giving April a chance, but I'm certain if it had been somebody white, it'd be a different story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they feel entrapped because they want to curry favor with some people on the inside of the administration to get information, but at the same time, you know, they don't show a united front. It is obvious what is going on. You know, the fact that he's constantly, I heard somebody from Fox, thank God he had the audacity to say that Donald Trump is treating Jeff Sessions like a pinata. You know, he's constantly kicking on him because he regrets today that he appointed him attorney general because he recused himself from the Russian investigation. You know, I mean, why is he constantly picking on this guy? I mean, it's stuff like that just needs to come out and so people could see what's going on. And that came from a Fox reporter, you know.
Yeah, I bet you never thought you was going to be rooting for a Klansman, huh?
Exactly. I tell you.
Give me that.
You know, let me just jump this up. I mean, you know,
I tell you. But he... I got to give Sessions, he's got more common sense than he looks at. I mean, I go back, I mean, I'm old, I mean, I don't remember 1963 well because I wasn't there at the march, but I know all the damage Jeff Sessions did, you know.
Oh, yeah. All them crosses he burned? Shoot. You never thought you would feel sorry for that little, you feel a little sorry for that.
I tell you. Unbelievable, you know. By the way, I was at the Million Man March. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
That's where you were, right? I saw you.
Yeah, that's
right.
where I was, you know. Yeah.
And
1963,
you know,
I was in elementary school. Holy Rosary.
Right. You and me both.
Well, let me tell you something.
But, I mean, real quick about Sessions' thing, and I'll let you go. The whole recusal issue, right? Is because he's trying to keep himself, you know, lawyers recuse themselves to keep from getting disbarred, right? To keep it from getting reprimanded, to keep from going to jail a lot of times, apparently, unlike Stormy Daniels' former attorney. So he wanted Sessions to expose himself to crimes. Now, I'm sure that, you know, it's just me talking, it's my opinion, not everybody else's. I'm sure that Sessions has committed some crimes. And I'm sure they have been racial crimes at some time in his life.
That's
just how I feel. But for Trump to demand that this man recuse himself so he could lie for him, basically, like they tried to get Stormy Daniels, you know, the collusion with Cohen and her ex-lawyer, trying to get her to go on Hannity to say she didn't have the affair with Trump when she had already come out and done an in-touch interview when she did. So they wanted to get her to say she was in fact lying in the previous interview. So, and not to mention Paul Manafort trying to witness tamper, but I'm not going to get off into that. You wanted to say, Ma.
Yeah. You know, I'm so angry every time I think about Trump, you know, and he dominates the discussion. You know, he absolutely dominates it with a lot of dislike. I can't really explain how much I dislike this man, you know, because he is disgusting. I remember the five girls. Remember that?
Four.
No.
Four little girls?
The four girls. No, I think there are five girls. Oh, what was that case?
You talk about the bomb and,
yeah,
and church bomb.
Yeah, yeah. Stop touching that. Byron, do you remember the five little girls killed?
Yes, I do. Yes.
What was the name of that? Where was that? Where was that? Birmingham?
Birmingham. Church, the Birmingham, the Baptist Church in Birmingham. Yeah.
Yeah. Incarceration numbers like slavery. Okay?
Yes.
Rikers Island. Yeah. You know, never will forget my visit to Rikers Island, and I thank, you know, Ali Al Rahman, who was the head of the New York Police Department, Buck Blackley's men, because he let us know what was happening, you know. He was a fair, you know, person with his police people. But I'm telling you, the things I learned during the days of WLIB, what we had to go through, still the anger, you know, is with me, stays with me because of the cases of the different people who were killed and
which really comes back to something you just said, that what you just said, Kay, is your right to be angry. You see, this is not about the flag and patriotism. This is our right to be angry. And we have 400 years of anger. That needs to be addressed. It just didn't happen yesterday. It didn't happen with Colin Kaepernick kneeling. We've got stories where Paul Robeson was an All-American but was not allowed to be recognized as one of the 11 players who were All-Americans when he was at Rutgers. There were 10.
Right.
He was the 11th. So when we go back, now when he pardoned Jack Johnson, he didn't pardon Jack Johnson based on the racism that was prevalent at that time. He pardoned him because of an unjust law for trafficking a white woman across state lines. He never mentioned anything about the racism.
I'm surprised he did that.
Not one time did he mention that.
I know that, but, you know, I wanted to know who didn't pardon him.
Trump pardoned Jack Johnson.
Pardoned Jack Johnson?
He was one of the people. He was one of the people that got pardoned. Yeah. The whole thing.
Thanks a lot.
The whole thing about Jack Johnson. That's what I was saying. I mean, Jack Johnson died 100 years ago, a little less than 100 years ago, and he pardoned. And was that an actual pardon, Byron, or just like the grandmother? And I'm going to get off into Miss Johnson being pardoned. She wasn't pardoned. Her sentence was commuted, and someone made that decision last night.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah,
the pardon
and the wiped clean.
You're right. None of the commuted or pardons went through the Justice Department official manner in which it's supposed to be given from the executive office. There is a officer in the Justice Department who handles all pardons. None of these went through there.
So in other words, the president can override that particular branch of government when it comes to giving pardons.
Obviously, that's what he's establishing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and really, it's really, you know, the tactic is he sending a message that he's going to be pardoning everybody? You know, I mean, to let the people know that are currently a part of his people that are under investigation, looking at being arrested, indicted. You know, he's trying to establish a pattern, right? That's why you throw a bone and Kim Kardashian, who seems more woke than Kanye, her husband, gets this lady a pardon where he could back and say, you know, look, African-Americans, the whatever small percentage those African, this is what I did, pardon this woman who was unjustly, you know. So it's strategic in that he's trying to establish this pattern, right, obviously. That's what everybody's seeing. And using her, I'm really happy that this woman got out of jail, and that's a great thing. But what we don't want to see him do is, like, he's going to set up to pardon these other guys. I mean, like you said, her sentence was commuted. People like Scooter Libby and all these other individuals, this East Indian guy, Devesh, whatever, the kind of nutty right-wing type of dude.
Right.
Was pardoned as well, and these other individuals. So, you know, there's a pattern here. And, you know, crazy as this guy is, he's behaving like someone who's trying to be the godfather of somebody, right?
Well, I mean, especially this Paul Manafort situation. I mean, I find it despicable that if he's even contemplating that, I mean, the guy has already made himself he's lost his case because he's jury tampering, you know? I mean, no one does that. And if I were Donald Trump, I'd be concerned about that. This man ran your campaign at one point, you know? And I think he's trying to send a message to Mueller, but, you know, it's not resonating with people of common sense who are progressive, you know.
Yeah, well, even they're members of his party. I mean, even Ryan today suggested that, you know, you can't pardon yourself, you know. So he even made inklings. But a good point was made on the shows today, at least on Chris Matthews, that by Yamiche, the sister that's often NBC consultant, was that a lot of these people that are bold enough to come out, or one of the sisters said, a lot of these people that are bold enough to come out opposing Trump, GOP members, are people that are retiring. They're not looking for to be reelected.
Exactly.
These are people that are on their way out. You know?
Yeah.
Because someone made the point, and you would be crazy to go against him now because he does have the support of the majority of the base, of his base. So, I mean, it's great that they're, you know, on the way out. Paul Ryan is on his way out. It's great that they're pointing it out when they're leaving, when they don't have to be up for reelection. But we need the ones to stand up. I mean, I liked Trey Gowdy week before last talking about that intelligence and saying that there was really nothing there. So, you know, we need more of them to stand up. I mean, those that are really concerned about this country, this guy is really trying to just tear it apart and just get paid as much as possible. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but it certainly seems like that's where he's going. And to pull a segue to move into how Rudy's acting, Rudy even talked about, we're changing our recollections all the time and trying to say instead of lying, he made a mistake. So,
yeah.
I mean, you really see Rudy kind of
he made a mistake.
As he thinks he's being smart. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, the problem with, I mean, the every time I see Rudy Giuliani, and I said this before, forgive me if I sound like I'm repeating myself, but, you know, the deal is that I go back to that caricature at the Inner Circle dinner a few years ago when he was mayor, and he came out to roast the New York City press corps in a woman's outfit dressed as a little blonde Goldilocks. That's the Rudy Giuliani. This is what Rudy Giuliani has been reduced to, or as the great civil rights activist, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, would call him Giuliana. That's who he is. He's Giuliani, not Giuliana, you know? And I just find it despicable that, you know, he's trying to set an agenda. You know, he's carrying water for a guy, and he's not doing the country or anyone any favors. And he's come out with even racist comments himself during the course of the Trump campaign in 2016. You know, he had some pretty scurrilous things to say about people of color and even one of the hotels he was giving a speech at. You know, it's unfortunate. I mean, you look at him, you go back to the days of David Dinkins, and I know, Kay, you remember distinctly how he carried on with the police demonstration in front of City Hall, and your radio nemesis Bob Grant constantly referring to Dinkins as a men's room attendant. I mean, that stuff is all part of Rudy Giuliani's playbook to get elected.
Are you trying to put Giuliani and what is his name that you mentioned? Bob Grant.
Bob Grant. God rest the dead.
Another joke. Oh, sorry, but...
Yeah. I don't like to talk about dead people, but, you know, the record has to stand for itself, you know.
Well, but anyway, I'm telling you. Gosh, it's unfortunate that, you know...
What's interesting is that today is... Go ahead.
Byron,
go ahead. Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting that Trump is still in office, and people can't see that, and they can't see the damage that he is doing. So it's time, everyone, to wake up, you know, listen to your heart. Well, those of you who aren't racist,
mm-hmm.
okay, listen to your heart and get to your polls the next time there's a vote going on.
Right.
And, you know, just for the good of the people, for the good of the nation, for the good of the country, you know, vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very good because we got the midterms coming up. You wanted to say, Byron?
I was just going to give a piece of history, reminding everybody that today, June the 6th, 1967, was the day that athletes supported Muhammad Ali. Leading black athletes gathered to hear Muhammad Ali, formerly Cassius Clay, give his reasons for rejecting the United States
right.
military draft.
Wow.
And Muhammad Ali was among the first African Americans to refuse to fight in the Vietnam War. And this incident
mm-hmm.
took place at a meeting of the Negro Industrial and Economic Union to hear Ali's wisdom for rejecting the Vietnam War draft. And these fellow men and athletes endorsed and supported Ali's decision and rallied to his defense. Now, do you remember? You remember the picture, but the
yep.
athletes who were present: Bill Russell,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Carl Stokes, Walter Beach,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Mitchell, Cleveland Brown,
right.
Sid Williams, Curtis
and
McClinton,
Bill,
Willie
from the Celtics,
Willie Davis. That's right,
Bill Russell,
Willie Davis from the Packers, Jim
wow.
Shorter, and John Wooten. Remind you of today
yep.
from yesterday, kneeling. Beware, NFL owners. Your day of reckoning is coming. I can see it happening
yeah.
on opening
yeah.
day. 72,000 people in the stands singing the national anthem, waiting for them to come out from the tunnel, and nobody shows up. I guarantee you,
right.
two days,
yeah.
and you
the
know,
NFL will be
you
on
know,
his knees begging.
You know who was in that vein? Because that plan that they have, it wasn't just protest, right? Remember.
No, it was
an economic program that they had. They wanted
yeah.
they had a whole program that they wanted the United States to address in terms of black people and economic empowerment
That's
zones,
right.
As I'm calling them now, so we can help ourselves. And
yeah.
in that vein nowadays is LeBron James, right?
Yes.
And LeBron is an individual
yes.
who has no
yes.
problem speaking up in the vein of Jim Brown and all of those guys, without the baggage of Jim, but in the vein of all of them, more so than Kobe,
yeah.
more so than Mike. I mean, they might have given, and a lot of these guys, I mean, Shaq is doing a lot of stuff like that here in Jersey, certainly in Newark. Shaquille is doing a lot of stuff like that. But not to say that those guys aren't doing stuff covers. Oh, we're just about
you
out
hear
of time,
as much
guys.
As you do.
We're going to have to wrap it up, Wayne. We got 90 seconds. So real
okay.
quickly, if you wanted to make a point before we
yeah,
got wrapped right. up in this discussion, but go ahead and make your point really quick.
No, I was just going to say, you don't hear as much about Michael Jordan and Kobe. I'm not saying that perhaps they don't participate, and they, of course, obviously, in spite of their accolades, they realize who they are in this country, and that's it. But, you know, it's important that all of us come forward and we give attribution and adoration to those who are coming out to make a difference.
Right. Well, there it is. You get the last word, Wayne. I want to say thank you to everybody for listening tonight. I want to thank our co-host, Byron Saunders, resident historian and also actor, director, playwright, and producer. Thank you, Byron. Give the people your
peace
word.
And love always. Amen.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. Wayne Gilman, thank you, sir. Once again, it is a pleasure and an honor. Legendary newsman.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care. My name is Citizen Payne. I'm known as Sun on the Kay Thompson Live Show, and you are?
I am Kay Thompson. Join us every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. Thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. Listen to us next week.